I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's June 8th, and we have a lot to talk about. And today, we're talking about MS relapses. Some people call them flares, some people call them exacerbations, and some people call them MS attacks. But all those terms refer to the very same thing, an MS relapse. So what does a relapse really mean in terms of disease progression? And what's the difference between a relapse and a pseudo-relapse? And how does pregnancy make you less likely to experience a relapse, and then more likely to experience a relapse? Joining me to answer these questions and to share some advice on how to best avoid an MS relapse is Dr. Michelle Cameron. Dr. Cameron is a neurologist and physical therapist and an associate professor in the Department of Neurology at Oregon Health and Science University. But before we get to my conversation with Dr. Michelle Cameron, there are a few other things that you should know about. We've often talked about the critical role that wellness plays in improving your overall quality of life. And if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you already know that I draw a serious distinction between facts and opinions. That's why, no matter what we happen to be talking about, I try to look to the science, to the evidence that supports a particular idea or concept or treatment. So if you're like me and you prefer relying on evidence-based treatments and strategies, then I think you're going to want to be a part of the National MS Society's Pathways to Wellness in MS virtual program that's taking place this Thursday, June 10th, from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. You'll have an opportunity to hear what the experts are learning from the latest wellness and MS research. You'll gain strategies for staying active through exercise and lifestyle physical activity, regardless of your ability level. And you'll learn how to break down the barriers that can get in your way as you develop your blueprint for reaching your wellness goals. The Pathways to Wellness and MS virtual program is absolutely free, and you can participate from the safety and comfort of your own home. If you'd like to learn more and register for the Pathways to Wellness and MS program, you'll find a link in today's show notes. Solving the riddle of multiple sclerosis is a complex undertaking, and solving progressive MS is a more complex undertaking because we still don't know why MS progresses. So the International Progressive MS Alliance is funding 19 Research Challenge Awards to improve the understanding of mechanisms that drive progression. The goal of this €1,425,000 investment by the Alliance is to identify new therapeutic targets resulting in treatments that will ultimately slow or stop disability progression. These awards follow a worldwide call for research proposals. Each proposal was reviewed by an international panel of MS experts, including people affected by MS. And full disclosure, as a member of the Alliance Scientific Steering Committee, I was part of this review process. And I can share that priority was given to research proposals that were not only collaborative, but innovative. Projects that explored new avenues in understanding MS progression rather than making incremental advances on existing knowledge. The award recipients will each receive up to €75,000 for 1 year, and the funded projects include identifying novel insights into axonal loss in progressive MS and identifying molecular pathways that promote neuroprotection and myelin repair. Reflecting the Alliance's global response to progressive MS, researchers from the United States, Finland, the United Kingdom, Italy, Germany, Australia, the Netherlands, Canada, Belgium, Austria, Ireland, Switzerland, and France received awards. These awards represent a step closer to developing new treatments for people living with progressive MS. Now, the results of this work will be reported in 2022, and you can be sure that we'll be updating you with those results. And while we're talking about the Progressive MS Alliance, on June 24th, the Alliance is hosting a global webcast featuring an international panel of MS experts who'll be talking about progressive MS treatments and research, and they'll be answering questions submitted by people around the world who are affected by progressive MS. The webcast takes place at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on June 24th, and if you'd like to learn more, register, and submit your question to the panel, you'll find a link in today's show notes. How do you choose the disease-modifying therapy that's best suited for you? With more than 20 approved DMTs available in the U.S., the worst-case scenario is that your neurologist sends you home with a fistful of brochures to review, and you spend the weekend hoping to gain knowledge and insight from some combination of brochures and Google. The best-case scenario is that a conversation takes place between you and your neurologist, where your neurologist or your MS specialist can learn about your goals, your lifestyle, your preferences, your level of risk tolerance. Then they can make recommendations and answer your questions so that the MS disease-modifying therapy that's ultimately prescribed for you is reflective of that shared decision-making process. So the question is, could there be an app for that? And the answer is, perhaps. And you can test drive that app today. The online application is being developed by a group of MS specialists at Barts Health in London, and it's designed to quickly learn about your personal preferences, your unique health status, and your lifestyle choices, and then show you the disease-modifying therapies that are most compatible with your personal preferences. Now, the app has a few limitations. It's still in beta testing phase, and it only lists 9 disease-modifying therapies that are available in the UK. But you may very well find your DMT among those listed. And it's an interesting way to sort of check in on how well-matched you and your disease-modifying therapy really are. Using this application takes almost no time at all. And it certainly beats trying to unscramble those brochures from your neurologist's office. If you'd like to give this new DMT comparison tool a test drive, you'll find a link in today's show notes. One silver lining of the pandemic is the discovery that telemedicine can be a useful and effective tool in treating and managing MS. Like any other tool, telemedicine may not be appropriate for every aspect of treatment, but I think we can expect to see telemedicine become just another aspect of healthcare, and that includes MS care. And once a new door is opened, new opportunities are bound to appear. In this case, New York University Langone Health has launched the first of its kind at-home therapeutic transcranial direct current stimulation to treat cognitive, motor, speech, or mood symptoms that are associated with MS as well as other brain disorders. Now, in transcranial direct current stimulation, a low-grade current is applied to specific areas of the brain through thin wires that are placed on the patient's scalp by means of a headset. The theory behind the treatment is that this weak electrical stimulation makes it easier for nerve cells to fire and transmit signals between themselves. Previous studies at NYU have shown that this type of low-grade brain stimulation improved cognitive function and reduced fatigue among people living with MS. This at-home program actually begins with an initial clinical assessment that shows participants how to use the customized transcranial direct current stimulation device that they receive, and the assessment is repeated over time to measure an individual's progress. Following the initial assessment, a personalized care plan is created for each patient. Now, each treatment session lasts for 30 minutes, and is performed under the video supervision of an expert through the free NYU Langone Health app. This program is not currently covered by insurance, and costs come out to about $30 per session, and that includes equipment rental. If you're interested in learning more about this innovative program, you'll find a link in today's show notes. In last week's episode of Real Talk MS, we talked about the issues and obstacles related to getting an accurate MS diagnosis. After you get that diagnosis, it's not uncommon to begin wondering about when you might experience a relapse and how that relapse might affect your future health and well-being. Will a relapse create greater disability? Will it add new symptoms? Will your overall condition be permanently changed? Will it affect your pregnancy? Or will getting pregnant affect a potential relapse? In a moment, we'll meet my guest, Dr. Michelle Cameron, who's here to talk about what you really need to know about MS relapses. Living with the unpredictability of MS means that you sometimes find yourself wondering about the if and the when of a relapse. And then there's the follow-up concern, wondering how that relapse might affect the normal rhythm and cadence of your daily life. We're talking about understanding what a relapse is and how to best manage one with Dr. Michelle Cameron. Dr. Cameron is a neurologist and physical therapist and an associate professor in the Department of Neurology at Oregon Health and Science University. Dr. Cameron's research has focused primarily on mobility and falls in people with MS, and more recently, on cannabinoid use among people with MS. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Cameron.
Thank you.
We often hear people talk about relapses, exacerbations, MS attacks, and flares. Are these all the same thing, or are there differences between them?
Actually, John, these are really all the same thing. It's people using different words to describe one phenomenon. A little confusing, but yep, that flare, that exacerbation, just a different word for the same thing.
Well, can you share the criteria that define an MS relapse?
Sure. So it's new symptoms that come on and last at least 24 hours, and a relapse is considered separate from a previous relapse by occurring at least 30 days from a prior relapse.
Biologically, what causes an MS relapse?
We don't exactly know the underlying cause of an MS relapse. What we do know is there's some increased permeability of the blood-brain barrier. What does all that language mean? It means the cells from your body, your immune cells, are able to get through into your brain, because the blood vessels get a little leakier. And so that's what's going on. And then the immune cells get into your brain or spinal cord and can attack the myelin.
Are there times when someone's MS symptoms may flare up, but it's not considered a relapse?
Absolutely. And there's two sort of main categories of changes in symptoms. There are daily fluctuations in symptoms. Are you more tired? Are you more hot? So often we don't know why, but the symptoms aren't exactly the same all the time. So there's that just fluctuation. And then there's what we call a pseudo-relapse, which may look a lot like a relapse. So symptoms that may last more than 24 hours and last some number of days, but they're usually old symptoms and they're not caused by an attack on your brain. They're really caused by a previously attacked area sort of acting up because you have something else going on. That something else could be a urinary tract infection, a respiratory infection, or something like that. So it's not a new attack. It's an area that's been attacked before acting out.
And is there anything that people can do that would prevent a relapse from occurring?
Absolutely. So we can't prevent all relapses, unfortunately. But the disease-modifying therapies, you probably, if you have relapsing MS, are on one, are specifically designed to minimize the number of relapses you have while keeping you safe.
Should someone contact their neurologist or MS specialist if they're experiencing a relapse?
Absolutely. In fact, that's sort of one of my top threes of what to do if you think you're having a relapse is contact your doctor, contact your neurologist, and let them know. They may then draw some blood, get a urine test, certainly ask you more about your symptoms to try and figure out, is this a relapse? Isn't this a relapse? How should we treat it? Should we treat it? Should we change your disease-modifying therapy? So let them know if there are changes in symptoms that you're having beyond those daily fluctuations.
Well, speaking of should we treat a relapse, how are relapses treated?
Relapses are treated with steroids. Traditionally, those steroids are given intravenously, so you'll go into the hospital or to a facility, get an IV placed, and get IV steroids once a day for 3 to 5 days. More recently, we've really moved to giving high-dose oral steroids, so pills. When I say high-dose, that's a whole bunch of pills, about 25 pills a day, again, for 3 to 5 days. That can be just as effective and a lot less trouble for you, particularly when you're having a relapse, to go pick something up at the pharmacy or have someone pick it up for you and then take pills rather than have to go somewhere each day.
If someone doesn't tolerate steroids particularly well, are there alternative treatments available for them?
There are. So if it's a particularly bad relapse, your provider may talk with you about plasmapheresis, which sort of washes your blood of your immune cells. But very often we'll say you don't have to treat a relapse. So treating a relapse just shortens it, but it doesn't change when you're going to have the next one. It doesn't change your trajectory of your long-term disability. It's not essential that we treat relapses. So if you hate steroids, you don't get along with them well, generally we just will say we won't treat the relapse. It may take a little longer to go away, or it likely will, but that may well be worth it compared to the side effects of steroids for you.
People don't always experience full recovery after a relapse. Why does that happen, and what's the best way to manage these more lasting effects?
So we think that happens because with a relapse, as I said, you damage the myelin, and then that myelin can repair itself. Like as if you've gotten a cut on your skin, you'll see you get a cut and then it heals, but it often heals with a scar. And that's the same thing when you get damage to the myelin in your brain. You get a scar and it doesn't quite work as well as the old myelin. And if you get repeated damage in one area and then repeated scarring, it functions less and less well. And so that repeated injury, or if it was a particularly bad injury, now even just one, you don't get full recovery of function. The best way to deal with that is through rehabilitation, PT, OT, speech therapy, depending on what impact that relapse has left you with.
We know that MS is a progressive disease. So how can someone determine whether they're experiencing a relapse or they're experiencing disease progression?
So great question. And I always call things great questions when we don't have really good answers for them. So yes, we all struggle with the answer to that question. We define these things very by the textbook as a relapse is something that comes on, lasts more than 24 hours and is more than 30 days from a previous relapse. And we call progression gradual onset of symptoms that just gradually get worse and don't go away. And that's a real black and white definition. And then there's all those things in between where we all struggle to sort of go, was that a relapse without complete recovery? Was that progression? And we do our best to figure it out by the tempo of the symptoms. How did they come on? Did they go away? Sometimes MRI can help us, especially MRI right when something starts, because a relapse will show up bright with gadolinium, with contrast, when progression doesn't. So there are some things that help us tease those things apart, but we may still be left with a bit of a question mark.
Does pregnancy affect MS relapses?
Yes, is the quick, simple answer. But how? generally over the couple of years around pregnancy, so from when you get pregnant to the year, year and a half after you deliver, the number of relapses you have will be about the same as you would have had if you'd never been pregnant. But instead of being even through that time period, generally relapses are fewer during those first couple of trimesters. And then after pregnancy, in the first period, they're often pick up and actually you get more. And we don't know if that's more because your immune system has kicked up again or because of just the stress on your system. Now you have a new baby and you're not sleeping so much, you're not resting as much, your activity is all different. So which is it is hard to tell. But it's a really important thing to realize pregnancy can impact your risk for relapse. If you're pregnant, thinking of getting pregnant, trying to get pregnant, really work with your neurologist and your obstetrician to find the ideal management strategy for you in working with your disease-modifying therapy around that pregnancy. Stop, start, change. Each one may be appropriate depending on exactly your MS and you.
Because of the unpredictability of MS, managing emotional well-being is an important aspect of an overall treatment plan. What are the best ways for someone to address the emotional toll of an MS relapse?
Excellent question. And again, one that's a little difficult to answer. I think what's right for one person may not be right for the next. And really, big picture, get support. But what support looks like for you or for your friend may be different. Is that support from your family? Is that support from the National MS Society? Is it support from your peers? Is it support from counseling? Is it support from your religion and your church? So where that support comes from, is that support internal? Is that meditation and taking rest and quiet time for yourself? But really reach out for the support that works for you. And like we talked about, it may take some experimenting to figure that out. You might want to try all of those things and see which works for you.
Well, Dr. Michelle Cameron, thank you for all that you do to improve the health and well-being of people living with MS. And thanks for talking with me today.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Wish you and all our listeners the best.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/197. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or a text. And now I have a favor to ask. It would mean a lot to me if you'd leave a rating and review for Real Talk MS. Just point your web browser at realtalkms.com/review, and you'll see links to the different online destinations that you can choose from to leave that rating and review. And those links will be different for each of you because they're based upon the software that you happen to be using to listen to podcasts. For instance, if you happen to be using an Android phone to listen to Real Talk MS, you won't see a link to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts because you can't leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts if you're using an Android phone. I hope that makes sense. It's just a little bit of technology that makes leaving a rating and review super easy. So I hope you'll take a moment to leave that rating and review for Real Talk MS. And you'll find a link to do that in today's show notes. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.